you for listening to Opening the Circle. My name is Tiffany, and I'm an ordained minister and the founder of the Open Circle. Our mission is to offer a holy space for all who pray, meditate, grieve, rejoice, and transform. We offer radical hospitality and love to everyone, including ourselves. You're about to listen to a live recording of me offering my weekly reflection to our gathered community. These spiritual reflections are intended to open the circle of contemplative, embodied Christian practice and are embedded in a particular community context and spiritual lineage. And these reflections are also for you, wherever you are coming from as you listen to this podcast. They are for seekers and doubters and those with curious hearts, as well as folks who are firmly rooted in a religious or spiritual tradition or practice. Wherever you are coming from, as you enter this moment that we share, you are welcome here. And I thank you for co-creating this sacred space and helping to open the circle of contemplation together. Thank you for being here, and I hope this offering will be of service in some small way. When the heavens above did not exist, and earth beneath had not come into being, there was Apsu, the first in order, their begetter, and Tiamat, who gave birth to them all. They had mingled their waters together before meadow land had coalesced and reed bed was to be found. When not one of the gods had been formed or had come into being, when no destinies had been decreed. These are the first lines of the ancient Babylonian creation epic, Enuma Elish, one of the oldest written stories in the world. It is the story of the creation of the universe and human beings. And this story says that in the beginning, there was only water swirling in chaos. And out of this swirling chaos, the waters divided into sweet, fresh water, the god Apsu, and salty, bitter water, the goddess Tiamat. Once they were differentiated, Tiamat and Apsu mingled their waters together, and their union gave birth to the younger gods, the lands, and eventually human beings. It's a long, epic tale that tells the story of this great Babylonian god Marduk's victory over the forces of chaos and his establishment of order at the creation of the world. Later, this creation epic would be echoed by ancient Hebrew scribes in the book of Genesis, the story that we hear today. In both of these creation stories, Enuma Elish and the first part of Genesis, a deity brings order out of watery chaos in order to create the world. In fact, this narrative of creation arising out of the original chaotic waters is very common across cultures. Ancient Egyptian myths describe this dark, endless, primordial waters from which the first mound of dry land emerges, sparking the creation of the sun god and then the whole world. In ancient India, the Rig Veda and other ancient Vedic texts say there was a vast cosmic ocean. In one version, a golden egg arises from the waters to birth the creator god, Prajapati. In another version, the gods endlessly churn this ancient milky ocean of consciousness in order to obtain the nectar of immortality. In China, there are origin stories of a kind of cosmic egg floating in a cosmic sea. The light, clear elements of the egg rise to become the heavens, while the heavy parts sink down to form the earth. The Iroquois cosmovision tells of a world completely covered in water, where the animals work together to help a divine woman named Sky Woman to safely land on the back of a giant turtle, creating the world as we know it. And there are many, many more creation stories out of the primordial sea. So the story we hear today from Genesis 1 emerges from this broader mythic context and specifically draws upon this Babylonian creation epic of Enuma Elish. But while Enuma Elish and Genesis 1 have many parallels, they are actually more different than they are similar in some theologically meaningful ways. Genesis 1:2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, or the wind of God, was hovering over the waters." The Hebrew word for the deep here, Tehom, is linguistically related to the name of the Babylonian goddess Tiamat, sharing a common Semitic root. And biblical scholars have recognized since the 19th century that this story in Genesis is an allusion to these older mythic traditions, and especially to the epic of Enuma Elish and other Near Eastern sources. However, in Enuma Elish, Marduk wages war against Tiamat and kills her in order to create the world. In Genesis 1, there is no battle. In Genesis, we hear a beautiful alternative narrative to this epic battle against the embodiment of watery chaos. In Genesis, the word of the Creator, the word of God, is powerful enough to create with no violence. There's a resonance. There's these syllables of creation. The sound of a voice is powerful enough to create. There's no need for battle. There is instead co-creation, synergy, generative flow that creates the world. The Spirit of God hovers over these deep waters, creating the world. God's Spirit co-creates with the formless void, with the darkness, with these churning waters. The creation here is not antagonistic. It is not violent. It is co-creative and complex. The constructive theologian Catherine Keller writes about this dynamic of creation in her book, The Face of the Deep, A Theology of Becoming. And Keller argues that traditional biblical scholarship has skipped over the complexity of Genesis 1:2, positing a kind of unilateral creation story where God creates out of nothing. However, she says, speaking to this deep void in Genesis 1, verse 2, the void refuses to appear as nothing, as vacuum, as mere absence, highlighting the presence of the Creator, as non-entity, limning all the created entities. It gapes open in the text, and the earth was tohu vabohu. The darkness was upon the face of Tehom, and the Ruach Elohim was vibrating upon the face of the Mahim. As Keller argues, the deep here is not nothing, but rather a complex, watery, resonant, responsive swirl that is a partner in creation with the Creator Spirit. Keller puts forth this idea of a Tehomic theology, a theology that sees the deep waters, as a fluid, fertile, creative space of potentiality that is infinitely generative, with no clear beginning and no clear end. A kind of womb of complexity and generativity. Not a passive space of nothingness into which the Creator creates, as the more paternalistic images of God in mainstream Jewish, Christian, and Muslim theologies have articulated. In this vision that we see here, God co-creates with the deep. God's presence, God's spirit, God's voice, God's emergent, vibrating, hovering, flowing energy like a mother bird or a wind over the waters is what calls forth all creation. In so many ancient visions, it is out of this vast cosmic ocean that all creation emerges. Out of the ocean of consciousness arises all form. As Charles Darwin wrote so poetically about his theory of evolution, from so simple a beginning, endless forms most beautiful. But while the evolution of form may have led to increasingly complex systems and beings, we can see in this image that we hear today of the deep, swirling waters that the beginning was not necessarily simple. As these chaotic, churning waters contained all the potentiality of these endless, beautiful forms. Our current understanding of evolutionary biology is that indeed our single-celled ancestors did grow more complex bodies and grow limbs in response to the lunar movements of the tides in a vast ancient sea. And they eventually rose out of the ocean and crawled on to the dry land. In Genesis, God creates the light, then the dry land, then the creatures of the sea, then the creatures of the land. From this ancient ocean, from the primordial churning sea emerges the vessel of the dry land, the lights to rule the sky, the creatures first in the sea and then on the land, endless forms most beautiful, endless variations of life and form and sensation and cycles and matter and movement and flow. In this union of the Spirit of God with the deep, this hovering union, this emergent union, this fluid creative space, all form arises and all polarities coexist, movement and stillness, dark and light, wildness and gentleness, fluidity and solidity, emptiness and fullness, containment and flow, chaos and order. There is no battle. There is an integration of all that is. This ancient primordial sea is both darkness and light, endless waves upon waves upon waves of the ever-rolling ocean of time, the unknown, mysterious deep. Out of the mysterious deep arises all form, all life. It is in this watery, emergent complexity that all that is becomes, that these endless forms of life are created. So the ancient stories say that we came out of the water, and our current understanding of science tells us that this is true. Our ancestors came out of the water. And we know that our bodies are made mostly of water. Briny, salty, electromagnetic fluids, ocean water in our bones and blood. Water is life. Water is us. We are the sea. The sea is us. The fluids in our brains and our hearts and our veins still pulse with the rhythms of the moon like the tides. Our hearts beat in rhythm like the waves of the sea. The deep ocean is our ancient mother, our source. As John O'Donohue says in his poem In Praise of Water, let us bless the grace of water. The imagination of the primeval ocean where the first forms of life stirred and emerged to dress the vacant earth with warm quilts of color. Water, voice of grief, cry of love in the flowing tear. Water, vehicle and idiom of all the inner voyaging that keeps us alive. Blessed be water, our first mother. Blessed be water, our first mother. Blessed be Tehom, the watery deep, our ancient mother. Blessed be water, the source of our life. The way we understand our origin stories, our source, our creation, is important because from a mythic perspective, each time we create, we are reenacting the original creation, and creation is ongoing. So as creators, as participants in this ongoing creation, what does it mean for us to be in a resonant, generative relationship with the unknown depths, rather than waging a battle against what we perceive as forces of chaos? While the scholars and scribes who wrote down the words of the Hebrew Bible were drawing upon these existing Near Eastern myths of creation, the changes that they made to the myths, where God is more of a collaborative partner than a warrior deity, frame the world in a completely different way. And from a process theology perspective, the idea that theology cannot be definite or closed, since God is always emerging beyond the edge of certainty, or what Catherine Keller calls the theology of becoming, then creation is always indeed ongoing. And this image of God's presence, spirit, voice, emergent, vibrating, shifting energy, hovering like a mother bird over the deep waters, like a wind over the sea, becomes a guidepost for us for how we co-create the world. As Jo Marchant writes in her book, In Search of Now, The Science of the Present Moment, quote, with every detail we choose to attend to breathe life into, we're helping to write into existence both ourselves and the world. What if the universe wasn't created in one big bang, but in billions upon billions of tiny creative flashes that are sounding out all around us? She goes on to say, this journey into now has made me wonder whether reality might have given us not just one long ago moment of creation, but an ongoing miracle. Perhaps with our help, the whole universe is continuously being made and remade, and the future isn't written after all.
You've been listening to Opening the Circle, a podcast supported by the Open Circle, a Disciples of Christ community located in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on Indigenous Tewa land. We are a humble community of seekers dedicated to the revolutionary message of Jesus Christ, to love and serve all. To learn more, visit our website at theopencirclesantafe.org. We want to thank the Open Circle for supporting this podcast, you for listening, Elizabeth Fagan for creating and sharing original music, and Kirsten Rudberg for editing and producing the podcast. Thanks again. Until next time.